Indeed, yes. Big thanks for sure. Hey, Sean and Seth, Gary and Schulenburg with you on this early Memorial Day morning. Thanks for going live today. You're welcome. If you're up with us, text us, 713-572-4610. We appreciate you getting up with us today. We got a lot to get to on the show, 713-572-4610. So we talked, Seth, about this trade or potential trade last week. If you missed it, the New England Patriots are doing their own version of kind of what the Texans did with Iron Sharpens Iron, like an internal documentary that gives you just this immersive experience of the hire of Mike Vrabel, the draft process, signing free agents, the war room on draft day. And it was quite clear in their documentary that there were a couple teams trying to trade up to the 38th overall pick in the draft. That was the Patriots' second round pick. And one of those teams was the Houston Texans. And you could tell just from the conversation, it was the Texans and the Bears that were trying to move up to 38. The Bears were at 39. They were trying to move up one spot. The Texans were trying to move up 20 spots from 58 to 38. And they were offering a couple of third round picks, one this year and one next year, to do that. Ultimately, the deal didn't come together. We were speculating last week as to who the Texans might have been targeting with that pick, or with that trade, I should say. Because the Patriots ended up taking Trevion Henderson, the running back out of Ohio State. Very good player. Jonathan Alexander pulled the curtain back on this, Seth. You and I, it was kind of a fun segment because we were just sort of speculating about what if they were trying to trade up to get Trevion Henderson? What would that have looked like?
We know, all the guys that were there that were no longer there. Yeah, how in the 10 spots between the Patriots pick there, and then when the Texans ultimately drafted Ursary, who were the potential guys that maybe they were targeting?
Yeah, yeah. They traded a third-round pick to move up 10 spots to 48 from 58 to take Arionte Ursary. Jonathan Alexander pulled the curtain back in his article. He had a long article about Ursary this week, and it's really good. Just it tells his whole background and his story into football, and it's very compelling. He said this, Seth: the Texans, who brought Ursary in for a top 30 visit during the draft process, liked him so much, they actually tried to trade up from 58 to 38 with the New England Patriots to get him. Two sources with knowledge of the Texans' draft process told the Chronicle. A projected late first round, early second round pick, the Texans front office thought there was a chance someone could take him early in the second round. So they had already moved back from the first into the early second, taking Jaden Higgins at 34.
Yeah.
Then when 38 is sitting there, they're on the phone with the Patriots trying to move up to get Ursary. Sometimes the best trades are the ones you don't make. They only ended up having to give up one third round pick to move up 10 spots to get him several minutes later.
So they save a third round pick, and you could look at this as either the optimist or the pessimist. The optimist would say, hey, they got the guy they wanted anyway, and it didn't end up costing as much as they would have spent. But you could also immediately say, what the hell were they even thinking? What were the hell they even thinking trying to get up to 38 to get a guy that was going to be there at 48?
Yeah, it's a guessing game, man.
I know, I tend to be more on the optimist side of things. I very much give teams excuses because it is all such a crapshoot in so many ways that there's no guarantee that he would have been there 10 spots later. So that worked out. It does make me feel better in that, okay, there's a guy they felt really good about. Mm-hmm. Maybe maybe they have a higher assessment on him than a lot of other teams, but that's where we get to watch over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Maybe this year. Hopefully. We'll see. Ursary, rookie of the year. There you go.
That would be sweet.
Washes away everything that happened with Kenyon Green. Those were some trade day. You know, you wonder, okay, what might have been if a trade had or had not worked out.
Yeah.
If a few years ago, if they didn't have a good offer to move back, would they have taken Kenyon Green or Kyle Hamilton?
Right.
With that selection? I don't know.
Yeah. Tough to think about. I think the other thing with this trade is that the pick they ended up trading to the Raiders, because Raiders had 48. That's who they traded with to move up to get Ursary. The third round pick they actually gave up to move up there was one that was in the 90s somewhere. It wasn't the 79th overall pick that they were going to give up in this draft with the Patriots trade. The Patriots trade, they would have been moving up 20 spots. They would have been giving up 79 and a third next year. The 79th pick was what the pick they used to get Jalen Knoll. who has been, you know, again, he hasn't played a single snap in the NFL yet, so I'm not going to get too out over my skis over this, but he has been widely lauded as the best pick they had in this draft. In terms of where they got him and what his talent level is, there's a sort of a Tank Dell feel to it where this guy, you know, he's the measurables aren't there, but we know the talent is there. Yeah. And he definitely fills a role, and he can play on special teams too for returning punts and stuff like that. I'm not going to say Jalen Noel wouldn't have been on the team if they'd made that deal with the Patriots. Maybe they move back up. You know, they still would have had another couple third-round picks to play with there, you know, to move up and potentially get him. But you know, they have him now, like, for sure. Like, that was the pick. You would have given up the pick that you used to get Jalen Noel. If you were going to still try to get Jalen Noel on this team, you would have had some work to do. You would have needed two to tango to get him on this team.
Yeah, and I guess, theoretically, the other interesting part of it would have been, let's say if it wasn't actually Ursa who they were going after, Luther Burden III was still there. He went, you know, he ended up going 39th.
Yeah.
I mean, they ended up taking Jalen Noel in this draft, even after having drafted your first selection, a wide receiver.
Yep.
Would they have been as bold as that? I don't think they would have for Burden.
Two receivers within five picks of each other early in the second round would have been a big move. That would have been exciting.
Aggressively, yeah.
That would have been super exciting because the most interesting thing about that, Seth, other than just massive moves to get wide receivers, obviously the message that would have been sent was, man, they are trying to put C.J. Stroud in a real position to succeed. And I think the picks that they ended up making send that message anyways. That would have been a really forceful message of that. The other interesting thing about that would have been that Luther Burden III reportedly comes with a little extra, you know, like his inner circle. And so that would have been... It would have been interesting to see, you know, we probably would have asked Nick Caserio about it on this show. He probably would have gotten asked about it in the press conference. He's the one whose girlfriend was his manager. Yeah.
Yeah. That part of it. I don't mind as much hearing that the mother is the manager or something. I mean, that's worked out pretty damn well for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
But the girlfriend part of it, that scares the hell out of me.
I need to know how long they've been dating.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Is this a Jennifer Hudson type situation?
Jordan Hudson. Jordan.
Her too. She hasn't escaped my scrutiny, Sean. Jennifer Hudson.
You
head on a swivel, Jennifer Hudson. No, I'm doing some digging.
You dragged Jennifer into it a couple times last week, and the text page was really funny because they're like, Jennifer Hudson would make this Belichick thing super interesting.
It would be. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
You need to talk this into existence.
I think she's married. So I don't want to look. He's no Belichick. Maybe
Belichick.
Okay, he allegedly was a home wrecker back when he was with the Giants, but that's neither here nor there.
She's allegedly married Belichick. Like, okay,
just looking for an edge, you know. Just looking.
This is this Ursary story is good by Jonathan Alexander, basketball kid who the football coach at his high school kind of stumbled upon in the weight room. Like,
well,
hey,
he was a 6 foot. Two 220-pound freshman who's just sitting on a bench in the weight room, and the football coach walks through.
Literally, the
rule for the football players is no sitting down during the workout. So he's like, "What the hell's your deal?" That's not how he said it. That's how I envision it. And I don't know, Ariante Ursary. He's 6'6". Would he have had a future in basketball? I think it would have been it involved a lot of battling with a buffet. So I think he probably made the right choice.
He got good advice, man. He got good advice to go into football, obviously. So good article. Go out of your way to find it. Jonathan does a nice job there. So yeah, they were definitely, according to two sources, looking to move up to get Ariante Ursary. Kamari Lassiter, little video that dropped yesterday. This is just stuff you do on Memorial Day. Like, this video dropped of Kamari Lassiter, and it got me excited about training camp and excited about this defense. This was Kamari Lassiter doing a little sit-down with the Texans social media team, talking about the Texans D-line in the win over the Chargers in the playoffs.
Man, we got a D-line full of savages. Interior, edge rushers, they are just straight savages. Just hungry, just ready to go.
Here comes Will, the Terminator, with a sack on Herbert.
And Will got to the quarterback. That was lit. The Negro got to the quarterback, that was super lit. You hear the celebration, he was like, ah, ah. He was like, masked up, going crazy, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And Rio got a sack.
Backfield. Again, Mario gets back there. They blast Herbert for another sack. Back to back.
He started doing his little, got on bait dance. That was lit too. Playing with a D-line like that just makes my life so much easier and fun, just because I know I'm not going to have to cover for too long. It's like working hand and foot. Like, man, it's just fun.
Hand and foot. Never heard that before. Hand and glove, I've heard. Hand and foot, never heard before. But I'll take
that. Yeah, and I think that, for one thing, I'm impressed that he remembered all the individual sacks.
Yes.
I told you, Sean, good cornerbacks are, they're kind of like pitchers and how pitchers can remember a sequence of pitches so well. Like so many cornerbacks can just go back through an entire game and, you know, they don't have to go, they don't have to act like Sean McVay, like you're some pretty little show pony or something, and let the masses know how brilliant you are.
Party tricks, yes.
Yeah. So I like that. I like that he remembers their celebration.
In watching that, the one thing that jumped out at me, I'm like, oh yeah, the one guy that, when we talk about this defensive line and all the guys they brought back, all the guys that are here already, I always forget that DeNico Autry is on this team. I don't know what it is. You know, I'm guessing the blind spot comes from he missed so much of last year with the suspensions.
Yeah.
He was banged up a little bit. He didn't play to the level that I think they wanted him to play for what they're paying him until that game against the Chargers. And he just, I forget who their right guard was, but he murdered that poor kid a couple of times in that game. I've forgotten about DeNico Autry, man. DeNico Autry, X factor for me.
Well, no, and I guess that's the one room where they have a lot of guys who are impactful players, but who are also well into their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bunch of old men in that room.
Yep.
And I think at some point, whether it's Derek Barnett or DeNico Autry or whomever else, you're just going to have some injuries along the way.
Yeah.
Which is fine because they rotate so much.
Yep.
Derek Barnett got some love in a what was that list?
It was NFL.com. It was NFL.com had the most underappreciated players.
Yeah.
For each team, they had one. You know, it was one of these things. They do one for each team, and Derek Barnett, and maybe this is a sign that he's underappreciated. These articles, I like to just my own little exercise, Seth. I write down like three or four names before I page down to the Texans to see if I can guess. You know, at least guess the get it in the group. I didn't have Derek Barnett on my list that I had jotted down, so maybe he is underappreciated.
You were the epitome. Remember, we accidentally left him out of the circle of trust after he had a
dude,
strip
I forgot
sack
about
for a touchdown.
That. Yes,
yeah.
I did.
And then he did it later again. He did it again later in the season.
He did.
And we remembered to put him in the circle of trust.
He's
but yeah, I think that's
forget.
Great
yes.
evidence that he's underappreciated by virtue of us having forgot him
when
he made one of the best plays all season. We left him out of the circle of trust.
Yeah. I had completely forgotten about that. Yeah, no, circle of swarm. Circle of swarm.
Yeah, circle of swarm.
Circle of swarm. Circle of swarm.
Circle of swarm is more short-sighted than the circle of trust. I was reflecting on this weekend, Sean. It was one of my many meditations
mm-hmm.
as I was up in the woods.
What'd you learn?
With circle of swarm, it's almost a big part of it is almost an award for the previous week's game.
Yeah.
It's almost like getting a star on your helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Circle of trust with the Astros, that's more about what the word means. Like, okay, it's not just what you've done lately. It's do I trust that this is going to continue?
Yeah. And we had listeners kind of conflating the two last week with the circle of trust. They're like, hey, man.
That's true. Yeah.
Myers is batting .306 this month. Yeah, I know. It's trust. Do I trust that he's going to keep doing that? You're right.
Not enough people carry around our embossed book of the Circle of Trust and Circle of Swarm rules.
Yeah.
Which you can get on my Shopify for $35.
Right. Go and buy it. Yeah.
0.1% of proceeds go to a very good cause.
Just trust us.
Don't ask
that.
Which cause.
Just
trust. A good cause.
Just trust us on that. You can get it in PDF form or hard copy, whichever.
It's pop-up also.
Pop-up. Yep. Yep.
Just watch out on page 3. Scary monster jumps out. It's Jose Abreu.
I used to love pop-up books.
Pop-up books are good until when they try to get too cute with them, where you have the little moving parts and everything.
Yeah.
Those last about, what, 3 months with any given
three
toddler?
3 months,
before it's all torn up and everything.
Well, you lived with some gentle toddlers, man. 3 months.
You get there's masking tape and scotch tape holding some of the things
100%,
together.
100%. So there you go. Yeah, Derek Barnett, underappreciated. Under that, it is confirmed. He was underappreciated by me, confirmed by NFL.com. He is underappreciated.
He's so underappreciated that there are articles written about how he is unappreciated. Just like the offensive lineman last week. Yeah. Like, oh, dude, finally, we get an award for never wanting recognition. We're so special because we never look for recognition. But finally, we have an award to recognize the fact that we don't want recognition. Go die, you fat bastard.
I knew you were going to kill Andrew Whitworth for that. I read that. Andrew Whitworth, for those who missed it, the NFL is going to be awarding the top offensive lineman the Protector of the Year award next year, which is fine. Yeah. That's great. Deion Dawkins and Andrew Whitworth. Deion Dawkins, current lineman for the Bills. Andrew Whitworth, retired lineman for a couple of teams, were both they were both the catalysts of this award. And they were taking the biggest victory lap for two people who came up with an award. Deion Dawkins said that they made history by coming up with this award.
They did. It's like I think they ended the Vietnam War too. That's they're like baby boomers in their ability to really laud themselves for making all these drastic changes and what have you.
Made history.
We fought the man and we shut it down. You know,
Andrew Whitworth.
Once we started getting drafted, for sure, that's when we got into it.
For the guys who don't ever ask for any credit, we came up with an award.
Yeah.
All right. Good for them, though. Good for them. Payne and Pendergast. With you on a Memorial Day Monday. If you're up with us, text us, 713-572-4610. Mr. Optimistic is up with us today. Thank you, Mr. Optimistic, for being up with us. Good morning, guys. Appreciate you doing the show this morning. I listen every day. We appreciate you as well. Texter 0303 on the text page. Astros, 3 out of 4 over the weekend. We'll hit that in headlines. We'll touch on the NBA playoffs as well. And we've got Acknowledge Me coming up at 720 as well on the show today. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.